Now, I believe we are. So if the angels are going to shout it out in heaven, what we can do with everlasting life or everlasting gospel, I think we should shout it out on earth and let people understand that there is a better way than the way we're living. You know, I would feel really funny standing up here trying to tell somebody about life out in the world. But I don't, because I've been out there. And I can promise you that every time I did something wrong, this little man inside me was saying, you know that ain't right. I can promise you that. But what did I do? I went ahead and did what I had to do anyway. And I will argue that point with any person that lives out in the world. I promise you, I will stand up and, you can't prove it to me no different, because I know for a fact. When we're born with this thing inside of us that knows right from wrong. Now, I don't know what you call it, but I know it's in you. And so we can make the correct choice. We can make it. I know that for a fact. Just we choose to do either or. Amen. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, sea and springs of water. And it says, I read the verse how I didn't realize what I was reading, and it come to me, everlasting. That's a long time, isn't it? Everlasting. It says, now I read the word everlasting, and it means perpetual, unchanging, unlimited duration, eternal, age-long, unending. Without a beginning or end. That's a long time. I realize in my life now, just how mighty the Word of God is. It's bigger than your imagination. We don't have anything here tangible to where we can actually touch or see what heaven is or what hell is. We have the word to describe it. But until you can get in your mind that revelation of heaven and hell, until you can actually just take a moment and think about it. You know, I'm not saved. I leave this world. I go to hell. And I'm going to burn. I'm going to just burn and suffer in agony forever and ever and ever. That's a long time. That has no end. But anyway, I'll read that again. It said, now this is in my, and this, all this come out of my Bible. This is in Word Wealth. I have a study Bible. And it says, now the word everlasting means perpetual, unchanging, of unlimited duration, eternal, age-long, unending. It says, may denote that which is without beginning or end. It says, I do know that all things of the world will come to an end, but the gospel is everlasting. We have an everlasting God. We have an everlasting roadmap to eternity. The Bible may burn, but the Word is still going to exist. It's still going to be here. So this is not some kind of game, guys. This is, let me go back. When I wrote this, remember, I'm in prison when I wrote this. So I was around some really tough people. You know, I was around the killers, the rapists, the the thieves, drug addicts, drug dealers, and these are hard people. And when I wrote this, I had to be bold enough to talk to some of these men, and it translates in some of the sermons that I wrote. I had to let some of them know that Christianity is not a game. Life is not a game. You know, you selling drugs to some kid is not a game. Or you doing whatever that's going to harm someone is not a game. But mainly what we spoke about was the Bible. I was to that point. And you just had to be strong enough and have enough gumption or guts to stand up and say, hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong. It's foul how we live, because I was in there with them. And, you know, either you can keep doing what you're doing when you get out of here and not serve the Lord and go to hell, or you can change your life around and be a better person all the way around. And that's what I chose. It's easy to make the wrong choice. But then again, it's just as easy to make the right choice as well. You can make the right choice. I know that for a fact, too, because I did that. It says that this is not some kind of game that somebody cooked up. Church is not the place we need to come when things go wrong all the time. What I mean by that is, you know, don't go around here and hang out and party and all this good stuff and forget church on the Saturday nights. You hang out and party and all's good. But no sooner than something goes bad, here you come. Or like some people I know that will not come to church, but they have an incident in the family. Hey, Ricardo, pray for my family, blah, blah, blah. I don't mind doing that. But you know what? If you come to church, you can pray for your own family. If you come to church, you can possibly keep your family out of some of harm's way. Oh, well, this is just the truth of the matter. You can do that. It says, God is not playing a game. Only people play games. Like myself, I played a game and I lost it. I played a game and it almost took my life. I played a game to where that, you know, it was just a very minute, just very little is the reason why she is still my wife. I played a game to where all my kids could have been taken from me. Now, that's just how bad it was. You know, I played a game to where some of my best friends could see me coming and cross to the other side of the street just to get away from me. That's the kind of game I played. I played a game to where that I didn't know when I walked through one door to deliver my packages of good if somebody was going to shoot me or I was going to have to shoot somebody. That's the kind of game I was playing. And I was playing with my life. But whoa, the world had me, and I made the stupid choices to go out here and do all these kind of things. But one day, I killed my worldly flesh. And that same day, I prayed and got saved. And from that point, life done a 360 for me. I dropped all the nasty habits. God came into my life. And here I am, right now to this day. And like I said, I wrote this in 2000. I wasn't even out of prison then, because I didn't get out until October of 2000. And I wrote this while I was in prison. But anyway, so I don't know about you, but I love the sound of an everlasting life. After I'm gone from here, it's nice to know. It's nice to know that where I'm going to wind up, I'll have a mansion. And I'll see all those that's closest to me now, because I know all my family saved. And most of you will be there as well. and we can reunite. And see, you know, we love to think that we're going to live forever. We're not. This time is a pass through. We're going to pass through here. Not going to live forever. You know, and don't get me wrong, I don't want nobody to walk out of here and leave us. But on the other hand, tomorrow's not promised. I don't think tomorrow's not promised. I don't think that, I know there God made certain promises, but no, we don't have a guarantee that we're going to make it all day tomorrow. It says God's not playing a game. Only people who play games. And I played a game with my life. But I played it long enough to understand that I was doing wrong. Then I got saved. And then when I began to study, I learned about the Word. And then I learned that we could obtain everlasting life. The only way to obtain everlasting life is to give your life to Christ. It says, as far as I know, the Bible's 2,000 years old, but the Word's everlasting. You can't put an age on God Almighty. That means the Word is still everlasting. You can't stop time. But if you could, the Word will still be everlasting. It's always going to be everlasting. There's a footnote in my writings, and this is Revelations 14, 6 and 7. If you have a study Bible, it says, the gospel is everlasting. It is good news to those who respond to it, but judgment to those who refuse it. So with that being said, if a person has ever sat under someone and they have explained what being saved is, and they do not, let me rephrase that, once it's been explained and you understand it, the choice is yours to make. If you don't accept Christ, that's on you. If you don't just confess with your mouth, no matter how good a person you are, that you believe the good Lord died and hung for you on the cross, it won't do you no good to come to church, not unless you're saved. You can come to church, but that's what I'm saying is you can sit in here all you want, but unless you confess those words, unless you believe that Jesus hung on that cross for us, you're not saved. You've got to believe it. And in order for people to understand you believe that, you need to confess that. But anyway, Jesus, he come here and did all those things so that we could have an easier route. And to my understanding, when we listen to a man or a woman preach the gospel, it's intended for us to accept it. Because like I said, when we're born with right and wrong, and we know that's right. I've been to several places, and I've heard several different ministers preach. I've even been to different churches the same day, and the Word is so real that you can leave one church and go to the next church, and this pastor over here, where he has spoke on one subject, this guy over here, he's speaking on the same subject. Different tone, but it's the same thing. Very same thing. I've experienced that several times. I've listened to T.D. Jakes and Rod Parsley do the same thing. I've listened to Fred Price and Creflo Dollar. They would do the same thing. I'm like, wow, these guys call each other and talk about what they're going to preach on Sunday? Well, no, they don't have time for that. It's just for the fact that they are preaching the gospel, and God knows what he's doing. God has laid it all out for us, and it is up to us to accept the gospel. If we don't, we're going to be left behind. That eternity, that everlasting the word is true. Jesus didn't come here and go through all that for the word not to be. Amen? I don't think that God would send his only son down here for a joke. Nah. So therefore, when we hear what the Bible says and when we hear what people have studied the Bible has to tell us, you need to sit up and listen. And then, if you're not convinced, go home, get your Bible, open it up, read it for yourself, and if you don't understand it, ask somebody else. I prayed for understanding when I was studying because I didn't have a lot of people around me. And I prayed for understanding. Lord, what does this mean? And just so happened, years before, I got a Bible handed to me that was a study Bible. This before I ever got into any kind of trouble. And during all my little exploits, that Bible was with me. It was in my truck. I kept it behind the seat of my truck for years and years and years. I still have it. It has my prison number on it, 135051. I'll never forget that. You can type that in anywhere, and it's going to pull up the name Ricardo Hughes. It'll never leave me. But you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing because that guy's dead. I killed that guy in the jail one day. I sure did. I got on my knees. I said, Lord, will you come into my life? And he sure did. So I killed that old man. You know, there's a scripture in Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken, says we need to kill our flesh daily. Every day. Every day. But anyway, I'm chasing rabbits like Gerald Rutherford, so we don't need to do that. We're going to get out of here just in a few minutes. I know how that goes. You know, speaking of Dad, he done this for me. He put all this, he saved every one of these. I sent every one of them to him. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, they said, to my understanding, when we listen to a man and woman preach the gospel, it is intended for us to accept it. If you do not believe the gospel, go back and live a life that's in the world. We must be judged. And I wouldn't want to face that. Judgment day without having given my life to God. Without having to repent. Without having been saved. I'm going to tell y'all what. I had a man tell me one day. He said, you know what, Ricardo? I said, what's that? He said, when we're out here and we're trying to get people to accept Christ and understand what the Lord's all about, and they're out there hooting and hollering and just partying and having a good time, he said, I've told a couple that if you would just try Jesus and you don't like him, that the devil would always take you back. And that really made a lot of sense to me. But normally, if you try Jesus, you'll like him a lot better than you will the devil. There are those that do backslide and won't ever come back to the Lord. But you know what? When they do that, the devil's standing there with open arms. And it's just the way he is. You know, he wants to kill everything we do. He wants to steal everything from us and destroy everything in our life. That's what he does. That's who he is. Jesus wants to give us life. He wants to save everything that we have to deal with. He wants to keep our family safe. He wants to bless us. He wants to heal us. And with that being said, wow, here's a guy that want to kill us. Wow. Here's a guy that wants to save us from all of this destruction. Wow. while over here just so I can run around and party with my friends and act like that I'm the world's greatest, or be over here to where my friends are going to talk about me like I don't have any sense. Gee, let's figure that out. Well, you know what? One day, Ricardo woke up and said, I'm not worried about what my friends say because, you know, I noticed that all those so-called friends I had while I was out running their drugs for them and doing all the stupid things for them, nobody was in that jail cell with Ricardo taking care of him. Nobody was in Colombia sending money or doing anything for my family. Nobody was doing that. So, gee, let's see here. When you're down and out, who's going to take care of you? 90% of us don't have one friend that will stick with you when times get rough. I can promise you that. But I'll tell you this right here. You got a loving wife and a praying mama and a family that's got your back, that's what you need. You get saved and it's all good, because if you've got all that, chances are you have been saved. I can promise you. I'll tell you something else, parents. And it took me a while to understand when I married into this family. You sow seed to your kids. The Bible says we should bring a kid up in the way he or she should go. You sow seed. And if they stray, I promise they'll come back. May not be when you want them to, but they'll be back. I can promise you that, because it's in there. It's in there. The only bad thing about that is sometimes they feel so guilty and condemned that it's an embarrassment thing. I know that for a fact, because I've talked to people, well, I can't go in church. Well, yeah, you can, because the people around you can't save you. You got to save yourself. You got to step up to the plate, be man or woman enough to say, I made a mistake, and I want forgiveness for it. That's what you got to do. Because that's what I had to do. You know, I wasn't in no church when I did it, but still, well, I'll take that back. We had church. I was in a church when I did that too. Because I don't care, I don't think Jesus had a church building. I think he went around everywhere. Did he have a particular building he would call a church? Have you read that in the Bible, anybody? I don't think I have. I don't remember that. I don't remember reading anything like that. But anyway, from experience, people that coming in from the world, if you get the opportunity to witness to them, you know, let them know, hey, don't worry about nobody. You know, you got to do this for yourself. You need to stand up for yourself and get your heart right and get your soul right, because nobody can do that but you. You have to do that on your own. What was I? Let's do it like it. It says, so to my understanding, when we listen to a woman or a man preach the gospel, it's intended for us to accept it. If you don't believe the gospel, and then you can go back and live this worldly life, you know, we're going to be judged. And if we don't get saved, it says, so when we do these things, we repent, get saved, and we have everlasting life after we get saved. Sometimes God, let me rephrase that. Sometimes we put ourselves in a position to where that we do things and we want to place the blame on God. How could God allow this to happen? Well, let's kill that right here. If it's anything bad, it's at the devil's hand, because God is of good. oh, I know that I've read in the Bible the word that what he did as far as Sodom and Gomorrah and all that good stuff, but they bought that up on themselves. Because see, when I was running drugs and I went to prison, I bought that up on myself. God didn't have nothing to do with that. That's exactly right. That's just one example that I could give you. It says, if you've gotten off track, we need to get back to reality. We need to preach the gospel to all nations. So when we support churches, sow seed in churches, we can help spread this everlasting word. So we take the gospel to all the world and preach it. We need to help Dad and who's ever in authority here. We can help with whatever it's needed. Our communications anymore, as far as getting the gospel out into the world, is just really unreal. If nothing else, you can text or Facebook and put a message out today. I know there's several people here. I know you do a lot. You get on Facebook and put the word out for a day, and that's awesome. You don't know who's seeing that, and it's worldwide. The communication level we have, you don't have to be with nobody to sow a seed or spread the word. We just don't. The computer itself, it's an amazing tool. Isn't there scripture, or isn't there a place in the Bible that talks about during the end of times, there will be a person to lay dead in the street for 3 days, and when he'll arise and the world will see this? Did I read that wrong somewhere, or isn't that in there? Thank you. I thought I was correct on that. I guess I'm crazy, but I thought, how is the world gonna see it? Because if I'm not mistaken, it said the world will see it. So how is the world gonna see that? Internet. And it's here. But anyway, let me get off right. I don't know about you guys, but Ricardo is going to do his best to make sure people know that we have an everlasting word. The gospel is everlasting. It says, when I leave the old body here, I'm going to be prepared for that. It said, Jesus, come here just for that particular reason. I don't come to church to play. I don't come to church to put on a show. When I go somewhere to sing, it's wholeheartedly. I'm not going there to entertain you. That's why I like the music's done here for the simple fact it's scripture. It's scripture. I try to put myself in a position every day to where, quote, the light is on. We are to be lights for Jesus. We are to be a beacon for the Lord. I want people to see me and to say, hey, that guy right there, he's been through it, and he changed his life around. I can do that. That's what I like for people to take from me. I would like to be known that Ricardo told me one particular time such and such about the Bible. And don't you know that was true? And I did that, and wow, the blessings I got from it. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to be drugged back down that road that I used to live in. They can have that. There's enough of us that's still in that mess. I want eternity to be life-giving instead of eternity that's going to be hell and damnation. And the only way to obtain that is by giving your life to Christ, to to hear the everlasting gospel. I don't want nobody to miss out on that. That's why sometimes I take the few extra minutes in Walmart to talk to somebody. You don't never know when the opportunity is going to come around. The God I serve is an awesome God. And I know that wholeheartedly. Jesus died for me. He died for all of you too. He died for these sinners out here that haven't accepted him. He sure did. Now that we know and understand the word, we need to tell some of those guys, hey, look, there's a better way. You need to come and just sit down with me for 5 minutes and let me explain to you how this works. You know, you can give your life today. That don't mean you have to change everything you do today. If you give your life to Christ and just try, he'll help you the rest of the way. He did me. I know that for a fact. He taught me, he coached me. It took me a while to get where I needed to be. Still ain't there yet, but I'm working on it. The God I serve is an awesome God. The word we hear and the teachings we hear in here are everlasting. And that's the way it's going to be from now on. You want to stand, please? Is it anybody in here this morning that have any issues they need prayer for, or anybody might want to give their life to the Lord in here this morning? If so, the altar's open. You can come on up and we'll pray for whatever. Because the God I serve is an awesome God. And he's able to fix anything that we got going on in our life that's broken. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for understanding. I thank you, Lord, for your passion. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for seeing us the way we really are. Thank you, Jesus, for sending your Son to save us. And thank you, Lord, for giving us a way out. Now I ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless each individual here as we go forth to bring a new work week on or a new week of life on. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for that. I ask you to bless each one of them, that everything they touch or put their hands to in any kind of way, Lord, you'll bless them mightily. Now, as we go, Lord God, I thank you for one more Sunday that we can sit under the word. In Jesus' name, amen.